It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Wednesday, January 27th. I'm Patricia Naft. Deadlines for municipal elections are nearing across the Western Slope. The deadline for Paonia's election was Monday. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The mayor's position, as well as three seats on the Board of Trustees, are up for grabs soon. Mayor Neil Schwederman is term limited, so he will be stepping down. As of right now, Trustee Charles Stewart is the only candidate. Unless someone registers to become a write-in candidate, Stewart will win the mayoral position unopposed. Paonia Town Manager Jane Barry says that the field of candidates for the Board of Trustees is a lot more crowded.
Two incumbents submitted petitions to run, and they are Ross King and Eric Gould. And in addition, the field of candidates includes a lot of new folks to throw their hat in the ring, including Mary Bochran, Bill Bruner, Bill Baer, Jill Spears, Chelsea Bookout, Karen Budinger, Barry Pinnell. Again, it is for a big commitment to serve the community for the next 4 years as a town trustee, but I think it's a great field of candidates, and so we should have a really exciting election.
Those nine candidates will be competing for three open seats. Interestingly, if board member Charles Stewart becomes the mayor, it will create a vacancy. Barry says that vacancy won't technically exist until after he takes the seat, at which point the newly elected board will have to come to a consensus on who to appoint. If not, that seat will go to a special election. Ballots go out to residents of Paonia and the rest of Delta County the week of March 14th. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
A county on the Western Slope is trying a new approach to prevent type 2 diabetes. KVNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
The Mesa County Health Department is launching a program aimed at helping people at risk for the disease. Sarah Robinson is with the health department.
And this is a program to help them look at lifestyle changes over the course of 1 year.
Here's how it works. People who sign up agree to attend a small group session with a lifestyle coach once a week for 6 months. After that, they'll meet monthly for another 6 months. Robinson says in a county where more than 50% of residents are obese or overweight, there's a clear need for something like this.
So for this program, one of the goals is to help people lose 5 to 7% of their weight so they can decrease their BMI and therefore decrease their likelihood of developing type 2 diabetes.
The county is hosting an informational session about the program this Thursday from 3:30 till 5 p.m. at the Fruita Community Center. For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
During a meeting on Monday, Colorado regulators approved new rules to govern large oil and gas facilities in high population areas. Our Inside Energy reporter Dan Boyce tells us the rules are the most significant result of an oil and gas task force convened by Governor John Hickenlooper.
Governor Hickenlooper brought together the task force in 2014 to address community concerns about oil and gas projects near populated areas. Two of the final recommendations from that group required the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission to look at changing state regulations. In his opening remarks, COGCC Director Matt Lepore told commissioners that staff held at least 14 public meetings to craft those recommendations into final rules for their consideration. He admits stakeholders did not get all they wanted.
This is a rough sport. I feel Tom Brady's pain.
But he believes the rules achieve what the task force asked for, giving local governments earlier notice and more information before oil and gas development. Not all the task force members agree, like Sarah Barwinski.
I am so disappointed.
She believes the original recommendations were repeatedly narrowed down to apply to fewer and fewer people.
And less effective ways with more and more exemptions.
She points out these rules apply to less than 1% of oil and gas projects that have been approved in the last few years. Dan Haley is the president and CEO of the Colorado Oil and Gas Association, a trade group that represents the industry. He argues those few projects are the ones which have generated the most concern.
We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars in projects. So this is not a small deal. This was a big deal they were taking on.
And in fact, he argues the commission went too far in implementing what the governor's task force recommended.
Well, I think it's disappointing for industry.
Notice both sides of the debate use that word, disappointing. Commissioners voted that projects with eight or more wells or storage of 4,000 barrels of oil or gas on site in highly populated areas will need to meet with communities to discuss where the project will be located and how it will be operated. Companies will also have to now register in the cities and counties where their projects are located under these new rules. For Inside Energy, I'm Dan Boyce.
Inside Energy is a public media collaboration focused on America's energy issues. A proposal aimed at improving enforcement of snow tire tread for vehicles driving on the wintry roads of I-70 will get its first hearing at the Capitol today. Benta Berkland has more.
Numerous accidents and closures happen each winter because of poorly maintained tires. Legislative analysts say it's a large economic loss to the state. Democratic Representative Diane Mitchbush of Steamboat Springs says her measure would allow the Colorado Department of Transportation to put up warning signs about tire tread laws sooner.
There is a time lag between when conditions deteriorate on I-70 enough so cars are sliding around, cause accidents, may even cause closures, and the time at which a Code 15 is called.
A Code 15 requires drivers to use four-wheel drive, snow tires, or chains in wintry conditions. Mitchbush hopes that by putting up signs earlier, it will help prevent accidents. Under current law, a driver responsible for a lane closure can face a $500 fine. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.